Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Valentainment.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Susie going toe to Tobin.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch Our Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we love to watch on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island on YouTube, episode 3, coming very soon. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious man of the holidays. It's Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's going on?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you on this lovely Friday morning?
Oh my God, I had karaoke night with my friends for like a little holiday party last night. So, you know, Tito's basically took a hammer to my brain.
Mm.
But I'm doing good. I'm so excited to talk Top Chef.
Me too. I do not have Tito's on my brain. I spent last night playing a board game called Teotihuacan. And this morning I saw my good old buddy Horace the Trainer. And I am essentially dead. I am I'm a husk of a man just spending his last breaths pushing out words about Bravo.
Well, it's quite the show to do it.
I know, but as long as I do still have some air in my lungs, let's put it to good use and let's chill some shows. In case you didn't hear, we are going to a million places in 2019. Our first few shows are sold out, but then our next available show is Dallas in February. You've got to come see us in Dallas. It'll be amazing. We're actually doing two shows. The first show sold out. Second show has been selling very nicely. So make sure you get your tickets to that while you still can. We also, this week, we put on sale tickets in Arizona and Phoenix. We're going to go back there. That was super fun when we did that in June. So go get tickets to that. We are going back to Washington, D.C. We are doing the 930 Club there, which is a huge, awesome, legendary venue. So come see us there. That is almost sold out. We are down to the last few tickets for that one. We have a second show in Boston. The first show sold out. We are also going back to Irvine. We're going right back into the heart of Orange County. So if you're from San Diego or L.A. and feel like making a tiny road trip, go do it. We'll be doing the trip ourselves. Hey. And if you're in the OC, come join us. That'll be hilarious and fun. And then, of course, last but not least, the thing that I'm extremely excited about is that we are going to Vancouver, Canada for Just for Laughs Northwest. We had truly an amazing time in Montreal over the summer going to Just for Laughs. And we came back with so many stories. I think we did two bonus episodes worth of stories based on Just for Laughs. So if you want to see what that's all about, and if you are in like Seattle or that area, or just in Canada in general, go to Vancouver and see us there. It's going to be amazing. As always, everything you need to know is on watchwhatcrappens.com. And while you're there, you can also get all sorts of Crappens merch, all our limited edition t-shirts and things like that, all our patterns. They have returned for the holiday season. So if you missed out on getting your What's the Matter, What's Happening, What's Going On t-shirt, guess what? You can get it now for an extremely limited time. And by popular request, people keep asking us what is our address, because people just want to send stuff, who knows what. But we finally got our act together and got ourselves a little mailbox. So the address is now at watchourcrappens.com as well. Everything you could possibly want, people, is there. Exhale. That felt good. Did I get everything, Ronnie?
That was a lot.
Yeah, and I felt like I said it in a coherent way today, which was nice. It's always pleasant when I can stay coherent.
Yes, you were very coherent.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It was great.
I need coherence.
I relaxed, yeah. And I like looked around.
Yeah.
Wrote a check out for my rent for next month.
That's good.
I did my desk.
Yeah, I also want to say that we are going to be doing a new show on Monday, Christmas Eve. There will be a Vanderpump Rules recap with none other than Laura Marie Shainhalls of Sex Unique Podcast. So just because the world's on vacation does not mean that Crappens is. So definitely keep an eye out for that episode on Monday.
Yes, and then we're going to have the preview for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We're going to save that for the new year.
Yeah.
Okay. You just hold tight because we're talking about it, but we're going to do that on January 1st.
Yeah, we're going to burst into 2019 with the Beverly Hills trailer.
Yes, but today, let's get into Top Chef 3, our first full recap of the season.
Yes, Top Chef. I'm thoroughly enjoying this season so far, although I always enjoy it. What am I saying? But I really am enjoying this one. I feel like I have already a lot of people who I dislike and like, and that makes me feel excited.
Yeah, I just like that Padma's robotiness is like moved to her arm now. I'm really enjoying her. Still not enjoying Graham very much. And they brought on Richard Blaze, who really makes me crazy. Yeah. And mostly it's just because he unhinges his jaw when he talks. Mm. I've never seen a mouth open that wide. And yeah, it bugs me. And I'm a big mouth motherfucker. But that still, I'm like, you know, close your mouth.
I don't like him because he's been overly media trained. And so he's like spent too much time on other food shows and he's just getting kind of like, hi, I'm on TV. And it's just, it's not really it's not the vibe I'm looking for, because Padma and Tom have like a very relaxed chemistry and their personas are just so relaxed. So Richard Blaze is like very affected now. Like he's clearly been a guest judge on Cupcake Genocide on the Food Network or whatever it's called, you know, like, so like now, you know, he's getting
first
too slick.
They come for the cookies.
We did
no
nothing.
One says anything.
I do have to say, I feel like I mentioned this earlier this week, but I feel like I'm mentioning this because I feel like it's relevant to what we're discussing today. That after like 8 years, I finally went to Tom Colicchio's restaurant here in Los Angeles, Kraft. I went there on Tuesday night.
How was it?
It was delicious. Oh my God, it was so good. I loved it. I'm like, I cannot believe I haven't been going here all this time. I thought it was fantastic.
What'd you eat?
The way it's done is that it's all sort of like family style. So, you know, the food is actually, it's very simple. That's just like simple food, just like done right. You know, just what I like, just done right food. But it was basically it was like a birthday dinner for my friend Diana. Diana, who was, by the way, a witness to the time, she was with me that time that we ran into Countess Luann having lunch with Lisa Rinna. So Diana has a very special place, I feel like, in this podcast world that people don't realize. So, I don't know why I brought that up. Why would I bring that up? It's so stupid.
I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
What a stupid reference. I just have a lot of things on my mind, mainly because I read that TV guide thing of the top 46 housewives of 2018. So, it's family style. And, we had like two salads. We had a shredded kale salad, an avocado salad. We got a Berkshire pork thing for the table. There was a pasta that had like sausage in it. There was a flank steak. I think it was a flank steak. We got a side of mushrooms, some potato gratin, and some cauliflower. Kind of like very clean, simple dishes. The sort of stuff that you would almost see in a cookbook, if that makes sense. Like a modern cookbook. But it was just executed flawlessly. It just, the vibe was right in there. The food was delicious. I think that if people are coming to Los Angeles, you know, a lot of times our listeners, when they come to LA, they make sure they go to Pump and Sur, you know, for the novelty of it. But you know what? Tom Colicchio is one of the veteran legacy stars of Bravo, and I cannot recommend going to Kraft highly enough.
Well, there you go. That sounds good, actually. I mean,
you would love it, I think.
Yeah,
oh, and there was salmon. There was a salmon that was like, It was just sensational, that salmon. It's just so perfectly cooked.
But is there a warm potato salad?
But was there beet soup?
Tell me what Chef Joe came up with, and maybe I might be tempted.
Exactly. But that was just like the update, the Tom Colicchio update, the IRL Tom Colicchio update.
Earl.
In real life.
Okay. Girl. So now let's get into this recap, because there is a lot to get to today. Oh, mostly how much I don't like Richard Blaze.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do it. Let's enjoy it.
I know this is going to be a cute episode because it starts with ducks like crossing a street, which, you know, I love a duck.
Yeah, me too. I really love a duck.
Okay. And then Nini's getting ready and she's like, I'm a little overwhelmed. I don't know if anybody respects me, but I won. So these now maybe they'll respect me. And I just like that she's talking all deep about getting respect while she kind of plays with her ponytail in the mirror. I'm really liking Nini.
Yeah. Oh, I love Nini. She's my favorite by far. I have to tell you who I'm not loving is Eddie. Eddie is the one who screwed over his entire team last week by ordering like $3,000 worth of lamb. And then everyone had like an amount of money to buy like one jar of thyme. So
he's really sorry. Okay.
Yeah. He's like, I feel just like really sad about sending my team to the bottom. Like, you know, I'm not trying to be a villain. I'm not. I just feel so bad. I'm like, you know what? Just relax. Enough. Just move forward. Like, can we please, like, not, don't remind us about it.
It's hard for me to know whether or not I can respect him, because the chef is supposed to be like a drunken heroin addict.
Yeah.
So when he's like, I'm feeling so guilty, brah. And then he Pellegrino benches. I'm like, yeah. I need some more heroin. Sorry,
yeah.
For me to respect
you. You know, like, far be it from me to, like, be angry that he's actually being, like, he feels bad for people. He's not being a selfish prick like so many other contestants on this show in over the seasons. But I just feel like it's, like, that self-serving, like, I feel really bad. Like, droopy face. Like, I'm like, I don't know. The jury's out for me. Like,
I'm kind of liking him because he's very, tightly wound, and he looks miserable, like, just in general, like, as a human being. Like, he looks really sad, and he's really little, which, you know, as we know as men, that's like a big thing, height.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, and he's like little, and he's very tightly wound, and he looks sad, and he looks like he's about to blow. And I really like that Michael Douglas movie where he's like the angry white guy who's just kind of like sick of the world shitting on him,
falling down.
He just goes crazy, and just starts taking rude people hostage.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of how I feel with this little Eddie guy. I feel like he's just about to go Michael Douglas. I need him with some horn-rimmed glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it's like a little bit of like a self-serving pity. It's probably a pity party with some self-serve. Let's be honest.
So, he's like, I'm so sorry I spent $19,000 on my self-serve. Yeah. Sorry, guys. There's no yogurt left for anybody else.
Lamb yogurt. So they go to the quick fire kitchen, and it's all decorated like Christmas and stuff. And there's Richard Blaze and also Brooke, who won a few years ago.
Yeah, I'm loving Brooke's makeover. And she got it last year after she won. There's something that they do to these people once they win. It's like they put them through a car wash.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they just like strap them to the chains and like make them go through the car wash. And then they come out with like decent hair and, you know, Spanx or whatever.
Yeah.
Because Richard Blaze got it too.
Yeah.
I wish they would have hinged his mouth maybe a little. But otherwise, like I like Brooke, and it doesn't bother me that she's a past winner. But it bothers me that Blaze is a past winner. And I don't know why.
Well,
like, I'm like, you're part of the cast. Why do I have to listen to you talk about everybody else? It's like when you're in class and they're like, so, Ben, why don't you give Ronnie notes on his piece?
I'd be like, okay.
Fuck you. No, I know.
You know, I'm like,
but
yes,
I wouldn't.
I'd love
I'd be
to
like,
do that.
Ben is going to die. I will kill Ben in the parking lot.
Richard Blaze is like the guy who like graduates from high school, goes off to college, and then comes back during the break and be like, yo, I've been in college, guys. What's going on? You know, like,
oh,
that's like
his
vibe. You know,
my friend went to London for a summer in high school, and she came back and she's like, oh, what a lovely time riding the tube. I was like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, my friend did that too. She came back. She was saying, brilliant, brilliant.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. So David, who's the guy from New Jersey, from Tom's hometown, he's like, oh my God, it's Richard Blaze. He's like, I have such a man crush on Richard Blaze. And they just cut to Brooke's face, which is just like, oh, that is so sad for you, sir. I don't even know who you are, but you have a man crush on this guy? Really?
Stand close enough, he'll gleek you. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, he's kind of a kiss-ass, this Jersey guy. It gets on my nerves, because I have a feeling he's the biggest bitch in there, but he's overly nice. He's like a QVC host. He's like, Richard Blaze! Oh, Richard Blaze, what a man crush. And wasn't he the one last week? He's like, oh, I've got such a crush on Gail! Like,
yeah.
Is everybody gonna come through here and get creamed all over? Like, sir, come on.
Yeah, and then in the first episode, he's like, I said I want to be the best chef to come out of Elizabeth, New Jersey, and then I looked to see who else came out of it. It was Tom Colicchio. My bad.
Now I just want to be the second best chef. I'll totally defer to Tom. I'm like, you're totally trying to trick everybody,
you're
and
right.
You're really a bitch.
He has kissed ass every single episode to a different judge.
It's gross, especially when you're sweaty.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a sweaty person. I don't kiss ass when I'm sweaty. I wait till I'm presentable.
You can't. You have to be you have to look. You don't want to have a situation like last week where Padma stares at you and says, why don't you finish wiping off your dot, dot, dot.
Finish wiping off your ellipses and we'll get back to this.
So then now they start talking about Christmas traditions, and Richard Blaze is like, in my household, a really big thing for us is an elf on the shelf. In fact, sometimes we get the elf on the shelf involved with the cooking. And Brooke is like, my elf on the shelf will compete with Richard's top, with your elf on the shelf. And then Pamela just goes, my top elf will judge.
Yeah, my elf on the shelf will judge your elf on the shelf. Maybe we can even get a guest appearance by Gail's large elf on a patio.
Have you guys ever played Gail on a shelf? It's a good test to see how strong your shelves are.
When you have Gail on a shelf, she doesn't tell your kids that gifts are coming. She eats them so they can never find them again.
The best part about Gail on a shelf is that she always winds up on the floor. By her own choice. It's where all the crumbs are.
It's where she's most comfortable.
You ever play Gail on the floor?
I write down everything Padma says. I like that she goes, so Richard, do you have holiday traditions with your family?
I'm like that too. I write down every single thing because it's like, she just everything she says cracks me up.
It's just she can make anything sound like the most devilish question
but
ever.
But also,
could
you imagine
have Christmas traditions?
He's like, no, we actually have no traditions at Christmas. It's just only the biggest national, essentially national holiday of the year. No traditions. So anyway,
well, you have 30 minutes to create your best holiday dish. Then 2 minutes to shop in the pantry in these giant gift boxes. You can only cook from things in your boxes.
Afterwards, you all have a chance to rescue Gail from a vat of eggnog.
Whoever can get Gail out of that vat of eggnog before she sucks the entire thing into her gut wins.
Bless her heart. We call these boxes Gail-sized. Go. You have to go raid the pantry and use whatever you can find that Gail hasn't gone to already. So that means a piece of wood, a mouse trap, and some penicillin.
Wait, she's half done with the penicillin. Better hurry.
Oh, she just put her finger in the mouse trap. I knew we shouldn't have put any cheese in there. Wink, wink.
So they have to make their favorite holiday dishes in just 30 minutes. And so the lens crafters nerd is like, I start to panic. I'm just grabbing flour. Flour! More and more flour!
I hate him, by the way. He is like, the first episode he annoyed me. He's like, I want to show that a small town with three people and it can cook. I was like, okay, settle down. And then he did something last week the first week he put like beets and goat cheese together. And it's like, you're on Top Chef, not Top Cafeteria. And then now, like, I forgot what we did last week. But now here, like, it's a pantry rush, and he grabs five different types of flour? and I was actually shocked. I was like, somehow Eddie didn't take everything, you know? Like, because you know Eddie was probably going there, grab every single ingredient and be like, oh, I feel so bad. No one has anything.
Yeah, that's what he said, though. He's like, I got everything I could possibly get. He's just on supermarket sweep.
Yeah.
Just shoving everything he can in there. So they get all their stuff, and Padma's like, stop. Let's play a holiday game. Have you ever heard of White Gale?
It's a game where you pass Gail around and say, look how white she is. So
it's where we see who can judge Gail's pastiest part on her body.
Anyone ever heard of White Elephant? It's what Gail will be having for dinner tonight. It's elephant and bechamel sauce. Speaking about presents and gifts and things like that, can we talk about a really fun, lovely gift for the holidays that people will really, really enjoy?
It's the time of year when everyone is thinking about thoughtful gifts. Think about giving yourself the gift of an Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer.
Access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more, baby.
I use it because I love to read, but I also love to cook and occasionally move around my apartment. And so I don't want to sit there in my bed all the time. I can't cook in bed.
No.
So I get the Audible versions of my books. Currently, I'm listening to My Husband's Secret. Okay? And it is amazing. It's a Leanne Moriarty. I don't know. Is she Kathy's sister? I don't know.
Just call her Elmo. L-Mo.
But she's the woman who wrote Big Little Lies, which the HBO show is based on. And I'm doing it while I cook. So thanks a lot.
Yes. Tell everyone where they could find Audible.
Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Give yourself the gift of listening. And while you're at it, think about giving the gift of Audible to someone on your list. For more, go to audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500. That's audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500.
Thanks, Audible. Let's go back to Top Chef, shall we?
So, yeah, they're playing White Elephant. And Brian, who's kind of like a grown-up Napoleon Dynamite, he's just like so over it. He's like, it's called a Yankee Swap. My box is terrible. Yeah. I'm like, I love this guy's negative attitude.
Yeah, he is like, doesn't even want to be there. He was basically a PA that they were like, we need another cast member, so you go in there. So so I forget who gets the first box. Maybe it's like Pablo or something. And the second guy with a box, of course, is Eddie. And guess what he does? He steals a box. Of course, Eddie. Like, I don't want to be the villain. The first thing he does, he steals a box.
Well, you're supposed to. I love your hatred for Eddie.
No, but like here's the thing is that like he was so early on, there were so many boxes. He could have just like rolled the dice on a box. And instead he just like he stole a box, knowing full well that it probably would have gotten stolen from him anyway. So like that's what I'm sorry. He's trying to play the nice guy, but the first thing he does, he steals a box.
Well, there are nice burglars.
No, I don't know. Maybe
the Hamburglar, for example. Maybe everyone's still hangs out with him. I don't know that she was very nice.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess he stole from David. And then David gets another box and he gets stolen from again. And
Kelsey's doing this thing that's reminding me of Brittany from Vanderpump Rules. And it's not just because she's Southern. It's because she's like really laying on that Southern sweet thing a little too thick. And I have a feeling she's going to push somebody down the stairs by the end.
Yeah, probably like, Sarah.
I hope y'all can sleep at night because I'm watching you.
Yeah. So someone gets stuck with Kevin's box. I think it's Justin. And it's that's the box that has five different kinds of flour. And even the producer shade him, the Chiron, where it shows the content, it just goes, flour, 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 flour.
That's funny. So let's see here. And then they all get to cooking.
And then also Nene. But I also want to say that Nene took Sarah's box. Sarah's the one from Kentucky. She's the one who's like, can you make a biscuit? Because I can make a biscuit. Can you make a Benedictine? Because I can do that. Yeah. So Nene gets stuck with Sarah's box, and Sarah's box doesn't have any protein. So it's like, of course. Of course, like the awful people make awful boxes.
Yeah, Sarah, she has awful written all over her, but I'm still liking her.
I do still like her in a weird way, but she seems awful.
And then Sarah's like, yeah, well, I was the only Jewish kid in town, so I got couscous.
Yeah.
And my mom would make chopped liver instead of schmaltz. We'd make schmaltzy schmaltz pork. And then Padma's like, whoa, if I got this at Passover, I'd be Jewish.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, except for that whole pork part, Padma. So then I also, you know, like Brandon's, that's why I think the camera like lingered on it for a moment, like, Padma.
That's funny.
So then Brandon, yeah, I mean, like literally just like, it was like a pork fat dish. She's like, if I had this at Passover, I'd be giving it to every rabbi I knew. It's like, So I like Brandon, the blonde guy who goes, he's also a douchebag. He's like, my Christmas tradition is that we have a Christmas dinner and we make ornaments. I was like, wow, you are really original. Like, congrats. Thanks for like giving us a peek into what a special type of tradition you have.
Yeah, regular old Norman Schlockwell over there.
Yeah, and then,
so then Eddie makes a carrot dish because he didn't really, you know, like he got stuck with just like carrots and some spices or whatever. And Padma's like, let me guess, you got Nini.
Yeah. I can tell it's very spicy. It's just like the way you can always tell a Gale box because it's full of old shoes and eggs. So then
Richard Blaze asks Brandon, so Richard, how do you feel about the temperature on this meat? And I'm like, don't try and be Padma, okay? Don't form things in questions you didn't mean as questions.
Yeah, exactly. And then meanwhile, also with Justin, who's stuck with Kevin's box, not only did Kevin get 5 types of flowers, but he got no eggs. So there's nothing you can do with the flour. This guy's awful. And then on top of that, oh, I guess it's later on. I'll just say it now. Later on, he talks about how at family functions, he doesn't do any cooking. And I'm like, you know what? You are a dick. I'm sorry. You're a chef. And, like, you are not going to cook for your family. You're going to just, like, I'm sorry. I'm not for that. I feel like that's, like, when you should be making everyone feel like they're so lucky that they have this great chef
let him cook. They're probably like, you made a salt cake. Okay? Yeah. Nobody wants that, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you put, like, a flour garnish. When we asked for a flour garnish, we meant, like, edible flour, not flour dough.
Yeah, and then Pablo from Miami's like, I made a grilled pork tibonin. And I was like, what's a tibonin? And it was a T-bone pork with the bone in.
With a potato roasty.
Yeah, and then this is one of the things that Top Chef does. It always cracks me up, where they make you feel stupid for liking something totally normal.
Yeah.
Because Brooke's like, oh, God, I haven't seen a roasted potato in years. Like, it's so hacky to do a roasted potato.
Yeah.
What the fuck, Brooke? It's Christmas dinner, okay? Roasted potatoes are good.
It wasn't quite a roasted potato. It was something called potato roasty. R-O-S-T-I. I don't know what it was. To me, it looked fine. But yeah, Brooke was like, wow, I haven't seen those for years. And Blaze is like, it's like the ghost of Christmas past. I'm like, you know what else is? Faux hawks. Yeah.
Close your mouth, Richard.
Yeah.
I just don't like that I'm now feeling guilty because I like roasted potatoes. Fuck you guys. Okay,
I'm going to look up what a potato roasty is because I feel like it's actually different. Hold on. I'm going to see.
Okay. I don't know. Pablo's so on the nose, though. He just says things so fast in his accent that it sounds like he's making something new and exciting.
So a potato, potato
roasty.
A potato roasty is different. It looks delicious and I would never shade it. It looks like it's a whole bunch of, it looks like a giant latke, basically, according to Google. It looks like it's kind of like a big potato pancake. So I don't really know what their problem is, because I think it looks fantastic.
I don't like it. You know, I believe in standing up for your friends, and I'm friends with potatoes.
Yeah. I also
don't care what you do to that potato. I will eat it. I will eat it raw. Okay. I'll eat it like an apple. I don't care.
Also, the other thing is, like, I'm okay with Brooke's shade when she's like, wow, I haven't seen one of these in years, because that's, like, shade, and it's hilarious. But then when Richard piles on with, like, it's like the ghost of Christmas past, it's like, you know what? No, let Brooke just have her shade. Like, be shady. Don't be, like, Food Network-y, because that's what it was. That was a Food Network, like, soundbite that he just piped in there, you know?
Yeah, I just feel like saying you both took two turns. Like, you both needed two seasons to win. So shut up, both of you.
So, meanwhile, Kelsey, she got stuck with Brian's shitty box, which was, like, asparagus and, like, pancetta. And Kelsey, like, she plates it. And I love her attitude. She's like, I like the way my plate looks. It's bright green. It's pretty. But it's stupid. And then she serves it to serves it to the judges and says it's, like, her play on, like, bacon-wrapped asparagus. And Padma goes, my gift is not wrapped in bacon. She would be someone who would say that about every gift she ever received.
Yeah. Well, why is Gail the only one that gets everything wrapped in bacon?
Oh, my bad. I thought that was bacon. Turns out it's just a used cheesecloth. Gail, take that out of your mouth. Bless her heart.
Oh, I thought that was just bacon, but it's Gail sleeping on the couch, wrapped in her favorite blanket.
I'd like to read from my favorite Christmas poem. 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even Gail. Even though there were cookies downstairs. Just kidding, she was chewing on Christmas lights.
So Eric made roasted chicken, and Richard's like, whoa, this is a lesson in embalming. Why do you have to make everything make me hate you? Everything he says.
I know. Like, one after the other after the other. It's like...
Like, sounds delicious.
It's like, dude, you are not on Food Network Star, okay? Yeah. Can you just, like, dial it back a little bit?
So then they take the plates back, and Jersey's like, I have Richard Blaze's fork!
I know. I'm like, you really need to up your standards in life. So then Padma gathers them all together, and she's like, okay, let's get some bad news out of the way. Gail is stuck in a chimney. Can anyone help? So the bottom are Eddie, Justin, and Kelsey. And I was like very happy that Eddie was at the bottom. What did he make again? You just already said it, but I don't remember.
Carrots.
Oh,
Eddie,
yeah.
Your carrots were muddled.
Yeah. And then Justin was stuck with that flour situation. And Kelsey with asparagus. And then the top are Sarah with her Passover unfriendly pork thing, David and Nini. So David actually wins. David from Elizabeth.
Yes.
And then
I just thought, well, that ass kissing sure worked, you know?
Yeah.
And then Padma's like, congrats, you're on a roll. Like the butter on the roll that Gail's currently shoving down her face while she's waiting for someone to save her from the chimney.
You're on a roll, much like Gail in every fantasy she's ever had. So, yeah, when she says congrats, you won immunity, I don't know if you noticed this, because you probably did, because you were fixating on Blaze as much as I was. Blaze makes this face like, oh my God, bro, that's amazing. Like, that's what his face does. He has, like, a slack jaw and, like, I'm like, are you, like, dude, this is, like, you've been on this show, okay? Like, this is not a shocking development. The immunity from Quickfire is, dare I say, standard. Like, please, like, save this for Chopped, not for Top Chef.
And then, again, David puts himself down because Rick's like, whoa, you won last week, too? Well, I'm the Quickfire Queen. Or Bradman's like, she's the Quickfire Queen. And he's like, well, there's already a Quickfire Queen, so maybe I could just be the Quickfire Prince. Okay. I don't know how to play poker.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I hope you guys don't take all of my money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So now the gang goes home to their mansion, and it's all, you know, decorated to look like the holidays and everything. And in come Tom and Graham. Tom's like, it's the holidays, even though we're shooting this in late May in Kentucky. It's the holidays.
Last week you were sweating over bourbon, and this year it's Santa Claus time. Yeah. So here we are, you know, holiday cheer. Yeah. I've got a sweater, and Graham's got his white glasses on, so, you know.
We wanted to do a nice little dinner, and we have some friends. Here we go. Here's not Gail Simmons. All right. Eric Repair.
Derek Repair.
Everyone's like, oh my God! Oh my God, it's Eric Repair!
And, like, okay. And then Graham goes, that just happened. That just happened. Ugh. I'm like, you know what just happened? Saying that. Okay? It's over. I hate that. You know, that's like one of my long-standing things that I hate is when people write on Facebook or on Instagram, this just happened. That just happened. I'm like,
just saying. Yes, just like, saying.
Please,
that's
please,
fine.
Please, up your game.
That just happened. Just saying.
Yeah.
So then, I just saying shamed everybody. I felt a lot of hurt feelings out there from people. Like, I just wrote that this morning. So saying. Sorry, everybody. You know what? Let's just ease ourselves right out of that one.
Yeah, let's ease that. That just happened, guys. That just happened. So
I just said that. That just happened.
Padma shows up at the door. She's like, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Poor Padma. She's like, shows up after everyone's freaking out over repair. Everyone's like, oh, it's Padma.
Yeah, she's like stuck at the door. She's like at the window tapping at it. I feel like a street urchin. Someone feed me. Oh, wait, that's Gail talking.
My Gail is growling. I'm starving.
Please, sir, can Gail have some more? So they all gather around and they're eating food at this table, which as anyone who watches Top Chef knows, this is a huge trap. So they're all serving food. At one point you hear Padma go, what's that? Brussels sprouts? It looks like old tire shredded up. Am I right, Gail? Oh, wait, force of habit.
And Tom's like, usually, you know, at Christmas, we have a tradition where we serve 7 dishes or something. No one's paying attention to me because I have a really boring tradition. Padma? And she's like, our Christmas tradition in my house. Krishna writes a letter to Santa or Satan, depending on whether she's with me or her father. No, just kidding. The dad isn't Salman, right?
No.
So she's like, this year she set a trap for Santa. Unfortunately, Gail tried to get to the cookies first.
Yeah.
So she's hung from a chandelier right now.
We tried to get Krampus to come over and remove her, but even Krampus doesn't want to deal with her. Bless her heart.
I didn't even have to buy anything else for Krishna. She's just taking a bat to Gail, waiting for candy to fall out.
The good news, she didn't get to the cookies. The bad news, looks like one of her legs has to be amputated.
I love that Padma has this evil child who's setting a trap for Santa.
I know. I really love that, actually.
Krishna, the evil Padma child.
Yeah, exactly. So then this is where Kevin's like, I don't ever cook for family functions. I'm like, okay, great. I bet your family hates you now. Like, how do you not do that?
Yeah.
And on top of that, Kevin says how he was working at Danielle, which is Danielle Belude's restaurant, like his super famous, like, 4-star restaurant in New York. And he was offered a super prestigious job there, and he turned it down to move back to wherever he was to start a new life with the love of his life. I'm like, okay, so you basically have no judgment. Okay, you made beet and goat cheese salad for the first challenge. You picked 5 types of flour for a quick fire. You don't cook during a cooking central holiday. And on top of that, you turn down, like, a prestigious job to, like, go to back to the town where, like, you could have started a life in New York, too.
Yeah, you turn down training to go back to some girl in a hick town. Like, where's she going? She'll still be there after you learn stuff for a year.
I remember the last time we heard someone do this was the first girl on the show who got kicked off. So, there. Remember she turned down Italy?
Yeah, people don't like when you're like, oh, yeah, I turned down a learning experience for love. Like, fuck you. We're chefs. You don't get love. You're chefs.
Yeah. Love can adapt.
Yeah, you have addiction and anger issues, okay? That's why you make delicious food.
Yeah. So,
happy people need not apply, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. And so Nini tells a story about how her brother died from cancer 2 weeks after Christmas a few years ago, which, of course, was like instantly gutting.
Yeah, insta-gut.
Insta-gut.
And then Padma's like, well, there's one more piece to this. And Repair's like, oh, what the shock, Gail. The 13th dessert in France, we have 13 desserts. And look, coincidentally, the 13th of you. And everyone's like, Eric Repair, talk to me. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Tom's like, how convenient. 13 desserts, 13 chefs, 13 minutes until Gail storms into the kitchen and raids the pantry.
So they have to cook dessert in the kitchen at the house.
Yeah, and their time starts now.
Mm. So then Kelsey's like, the only other chef who has dessert experience is Nini, and I'm the only person who's had a baby by choice.
Padma's like, and how is that baby that you left behind to cook in the corner of a kitchen? How is that baby? Oh, Padma, why did you do that? Sorry.
Is your baby named Kirk Cameron because it's starring in a movie called Left Behind?
Is your baby named Kirk Cameron because it looks like it may have some growing pains?
Is your baby a daughter because you're a gone girl?
Is your baby Tony Danza because it's probably asking, who's the boss? Not my mom. She's not here. Get it?
I hope your baby's not John Travolta because you won't be there to tend to its Saturday Night Fever.
Hey, is your baby an alien that likes cats? Is it named Alf as in Al feeling sad right now? That's my other tradition.
Snort fest today, okay? I'm breathing in snot as I laugh, so don't think that's lost on me, everybody. Recovery from a cold. Thanks for laughing at Ben.
Did you mean to take a commercial break right now?
So, let's see here. The douchebag. Okay, now I feel so bad for not liking this guy because he really – I'm just expecting him to be an asshole, but he really hasn't done anything yet to be an asshole.
Well, which one?
White
guy?
Aryan guy. Douchebag.
Well, the first episode he was sort of a douchebag. He hasn't been as douchey, but the first episode he was douchey, but yeah. He is hot.
I mean, I feel like he – oh, I don't – I mean, I think – I don't know.
In an Aryan way.
A hairless cat. I think he looks like a hairless
cat. He is. He has just very nice skin and, like, nice blonde – very – like, hot in a super Aryan way if you're looking for an Aryan thing.
So he's – then we are reminded, which I forgot this
Me
from
too.
The preview episode we did, that he is a person who has a family chocolate place called, like – Leah Gold's Phantasma, Phantasmagoric, Chocolate Victoric, Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, it's like a very strange thing. And his role as a child was to pluck the odd-shaped chocolates off the conveyor belt. And he's like, and there were a lot of odd-shaped chocolates. And so then I got resentful that this kid spent his entire childhood, like, eating chocolate and then, like, comes out looking, like, relatively in shape.
Yeah, it's not fair.
No, it's not. So meanwhile, Kevin is dumping an entire thing of salt into his ricotta cheese because he's making a ricotta cake, which already, just even the ricotta cake just sounds bland.
He's extremely impressed with his like YouTube video tutorial of making ricotta. Because didn't he do that last week?
Yeah, I think he did. And the thing is that like ricotta cheese is like one of the easiest cheeses to make for like a home cook. Like I can't make any cheese except for I've only tried it once. But the point is that like it's the one cheese that doesn't require anything special. You just basically like don't you put like whole milk, you boil whole milk and put some lemon in it and then just like sift it through something. It's like congrats.
Yeah, you did it. He's like I made toast all by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And then The Napoleon Dynamite, Brian, is like, I just cut some meat because, like, I don't bake. And most chefs, like, we know how to make biscuits, so I'm going to make a shortbread biscuit. Mm.
Yeah, I'm like, am I supposed to be impressed by you, like, willfully not preparing for this show?
Yeah, he's like, we should all have something in our back pocket. Oh,
I don't. It's like, okay, well, congrats. You're given a huge national opportunity, very high profile, and you decided not to spend like the 90 minutes it would take to memorize a simple cake recipe.
Yeah, no kidding. Make some cookies. Like cookie recipes cookie. Is like the easiest thing to do, you know?
Literally make a cookie.
Yeah, make a cookie cup and put a little ice cream. I mean, come on, something, dude.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then Justin's making cheese and fruit. I don't know why I wrote that down. So then at one point, someone goes, do not open the bottom oven. I think it was Kelsey. Like, do not open the bottom oven. And then they cut to Sarah, who's, like, trying to cook something in a toaster oven. She's like, well, this doesn't fucking work. Ugh. She just goes right over to the bottom oven and opens it up. And the music does that, like, shing sound. It goes, shing. Oh, it gets like really serious. Like she opened the bottom oven, but at the same time, it's like, bitch, he just yelled, "Don't open the bottom oven."
I know, but everybody has to use these ovens. You know, it's her fault. It was Kelsey, and it's Kelsey's fault for trying to make macaron. I mean, those are not easy to make.
Yeah,
macaron. Those are difficult. That's and she was trying to show her skill level. You know, but you can't do that with first of all, in an oven that you don't know the temperature of, because those are finicky. And second, when it's being opened over and over again. I don't know how anybody got anything cooked, actually.
What do you think is harder to do? To make something set in the freezer or to cook something in the oven in this sort of environment where doors are opening and closing?
The oven.
It's harder. Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I think so. Because the freezer is surrounded by other frozen stuff. So it's kind of like being in a you know, what am I thinking? Those things you carry to soccer games to put sodas in? No, like you...
ice pack?
No, the big box.
Cooler.
Cooler, yeah, cooler. That's such a hard word to come up with.
I was hard.
What's that thing that keeps things cool? You really galed it up. So Eric Repair and Tom now do like a tour of the kitchen where they just like walk around and they just look incredulously at everyone and they're like, oh my god, this is a disaster. They go through, they have some words with everyone, and then they come back outside and Pam is like, so what did you see them making in the kitchen? And Tom goes, oh, a mess. Huh? Get it? Was it a sweet
delicious mess?
Or was it more of a gale mess? Was it like the time that Gale got into the swizzle sticks and wound up doing snow angels on the dining room floor at La Bernadette?
Was it a producing mess or a consuming mess? A or Gale? So Kelsey's like, this is brutal. So because her oven is all messed up.
Yeah.
And then they talk to Eddie and he's like, oh my god, I'm doing a play on a shortcake tiramisu, but like, I don't really know. I don't have a brain for measuring things. And Tom's like, well, that guy's
an idiot and he's sweating all over the place and not really sure what to make of him. And he's like, I'm sorry.
I don't want to be a villain. Please.
I'm so nervous. So what I'm trying to do is like regulate the temperature in this room by opening the freezers and opening the ovens at the same time so that we can get like a nice flow of hot and cold air. That's all. I'm just trying to open them up a little bit.
45 minutes. So the freezer now is not cold enough, as you mentioned. Kelsey has to change her macaroni to other things. So now she's doing a milk and cookie plate, which worries me.
Yeah.
And let's see here. Kevin, ricotta, God. And then he has a big douche taste it. And he's like, that is really salty, brah. And he's like, well, it's really hard to unseason things. So
just make more ricotta. I guess I'm just
gonna put a stick of butter in it.
Yeah. Or why don't you just make more ricotta?
Yeah.
With like undersalted, you know?
Yeah.
So now they all come to present their food, and as they all arrive with their desserts, and Padma just looks at them and goes, looks promising. It's as promising as going to Stu Leonard's without Gale and being like, oh good, for once I can get all the groceries I want, and then you turn around the corner and there's Gale noshing on a cantaloupe.
So let's see, the Brazilian dude made raspberry. You know, raspberry. Like he made a, what did he make?
He made a dark chocolate coffee and black pepper ganache raspberry thing. He was like very upset, but he's like, I wanted to look like a certain way, but like the raspberries were like not pretty. Sort of. So there's that.
Eddie's strawberry shortcake.
Yeah.
Brian made his sweet and savory biscuit with pickled coconut, which, wow.
Nini made a blackberry and lemon vachon, and David made a banana cream cheese trifle. And then at this point in the judging, Padma stops and goes, I just realized I've only gone through less than half of these. I have the dessert shakes, or as I call it, a bad case of the gales.
So, ass kisser, do you make dessert often? He's like, no, but you know what I do often? Jerk off to Richard Blaze's poster in my bedroom. I love him! She's like, okay, well, at least you have immunity. And then Tom's
unlike that jar of jelly beans that Gale just got into.
Kelsey, Adrian made an almond de quoi. Douchebag made white chocolate mousse with caramel and blood orange something or other. I was writing these very fast. Okay, so then we get to Justin, and he's like, I made a blue cheese mousse with crumbled goat cheese and cat poop. And they're like, interesting. So let's just get to judging, shall we?
Okay, so Padma... Now, right before the judging happens, it's 2:30 in the morning. Padma excuses them and is like, it's late. Go get some sleep. And so she excuses them. And as they leave, I don't know if you noticed this, Richard Blaze did the prayer hands thank you thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. I wrote hashtag blessed. Shut up.
Oh, my God. What are you doing? You're like, don't do that. Don't do the the putting your hands together. Thank you so much. Like prayer bow from your seat. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yolanda Foster. Take a break. Take a break, Lime.
Yeah. No, so, I can't say that.
That's totally a hashtag blessed thing on YouTube. Blessed. And there will never be a more obnoxious hashtag than hashtag blessed.
Hashtag that just happened.
Yeah, just everybody go look up hashtag blessed and you'll want to barf.
Yeah, okay? Hashtag just saying.
Yeah, hashtag just saying. That just happened. So Bad was like, Nene stood out. I really liked her ponytail. So I was like, yeah, you know, really nice, elegant dessert. She worked on that ponytail. It was the first scene of the show. So
it's a good ponytail. You know. Yeah, I liked it. Made her real nice glasses, too. I was very happy with the way she filled my CVS prescription. Thank you.
Yeah, and Eric Repair is like, oh, very delicate, this Nene. However, not my favorite. Not my favorite. It's like
cliffhanger.
So Graham's like, Brian was lacking a lot of acid. I'm like, God, you're such a bitch. You learned a lot from MasterChef, sir. Good for you.
Yeah. So they like Eddie's. They thought that Michelle's brownie was not sweet enough. They thought Kevin's ricotta thing was too salty, and too boring, probably. And then they got to Kelsey's dessert, and Eric Repair's like, this was my favorite dessert of the night.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed here is that Brooke doesn't really like or dislike any particular dish. She likes the ideas they're based on. Have you noticed that? Like, she'll
not.
Say, generally, I like salt in dessert, but in this one, it was too much. I don't like roast potatoes in general.
In general, I like thyme in dessert. She actually said that.
Yeah. And who said it was Graham? He's like, yeah, you know, thyme and what did he say? Thyme and raspberries are homies, bro.
Yeah.
Usually. Something like that.
He said that. I was like, oh, I did not know that. They get to Brandon's. He made some, I forget what he made, but Pat was like, I did not like Brandon's dessert at all. I could barely eat it. It's already in a box headed up to Gail.
The Gail bitch disposal. And Justin's fruit and cheese. And Tom's like, well, you know, why would you take blue cheese to make mousse? That's like crazy. Like, why would you do that? I don't understand why you would do that. And Repair's like, blue cheese is possible. And we made it bland by making it mousse. And then they like Adrian's Duquel.
No, I thought they didn't like it because they thought it tasted like frozen orange juice.
Well, Graham liked it.
Oh. Okay.
Graham's like the fill-in Gale. And then Repair's like, the cream on top was the wrong consistency. And Brooke's like, yeah, generally I don't like frozen orange juice.
Hi, this is Padma Lakshmi. Is Nilu available? We have some desserts to bring up to Gale. Thank you. Nilu, here you go.
Sit, Nilu, sit.
Good dog. So now it's the next morning. Now it's time for judging. And guess who's in a deep panic? Eddie!
Yeah, Eddie's freaking out.
Yeah, it's like downing Pellegrino by the barrel.
So I was like, this is a hard challenge for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. I could list them here, and I will. So everybody just sit back and stare at a fly on the wall. And it'll be over soon. Promise. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I need a monologue for every scene, Tom.
So ultimately, Kelsey, Eddie, and Nene were on top. And Nene's Vachelon won the whole day. So that's two in a row for Nene, which made me happy because she's my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when Graham's like, strawberry and fennel are homies, right?
Yeah, that's what it was.
So, yeah, Nene wins. Let's see. Wiener is Nene. Yes, queen.
I'm just letting you
Padma,
go through.
That's two in a row. I know. I'm just like, wow.
I didn't write anything here. Nice. I just said who the winner was.
Padma, that's two in a row. I can't wait to kick you off next week and ruin everybody's betting strategy for this season of Top Chef.
And then we have the bottom, which is Kevin, Brian, and Pablo. Brian, which one was? Oh yeah, Brian did that biscuit, and Pablo had the sad raspberry thing. And Tom, I love when Tom just like unleashes nastiness on people. He's always like, well, you have to make your choices. And Pablo, there was just a problem with every single thing on that plate. It was basically like shit. Also, you could have served a big piece of shit to me.
Yeah, he also shaded Napoleon Dynamite Brian because he's like, Brian's like, well, I don't have a lot of pastry experience, I'm not going to lie. And Tom's like,
yeah, we get that. We know you're not lying.
Chef of snarkasm.
Well, okay.
Okay. And then Pam is like, Kevin, how did you prepare the fruit in your dish? Trick question. You obviously didn't prepare anything because it was awful.
He's like, well, I know I wanted to cook down cherry sauce, but like it was a little salty, so I added some butter. And he just like kind of like nods at them, and they're like, you're an idiot. And Tom goes, if you know, here's one thing we're trained as chefs to do. If you know that something is bad, don't put it on a plate.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's pretty simple. If it's bad, it's not good.
It's
so,
like a cook oven, and you serve like a chicken instead of an old rooster. Like, what sort of cook oven is that?
Then Padma tries to relate to everyone in America. She's like, you can leave, chefs. Now, we ask them to do something difficult, but it happens to all of us at the holidays. You get stressed out. You have to do last-minute things. Your child kidnapped Santa. You know how it goes.
You have to see Michiko Kakutani do a lecture at NYU.
You have to get all those nasty voicemails, those nasty satanic voicemails from Salmon transcribed for the next time you drag his ass to court for alimony. You know how it goes.
You have to get your looks ready for Fashion Week in Paris. It's just like all of us, all of America.
Tom's like, yeah, but they all messed up, but they didn't do anything about it. And, we're trained not to put bad things on plates. And she goes,
yeah, but how do we separate which crime is the biggest?
Whoever smelt it dealt it. Am I right, Gail? Whoever did the crime does the time. Whoever did the crime did the crime. So then they're talking about Pablo's dish and everything that's wrong with it. And then Padma goes, well, as silly as Pablo's dish was, the other two punched me harder in the palate.
And Repair's like, Ryan's dessert was offensive to me. And Graham's like, yeah, salty versus acid. So what do we do? You know, the Brazilian was acid, or Napoleon Dynamite had the acid, and the Brazilian, nerd had the salty. So what do we do now? And Repair's like, too salty? Only add butter? This is not the right thing to do.
No. Definitely. Well, he is right. Like, why would why would he do that? Why would he do that?
So sweet, and I like that he. Because sometimes with all the other judges, it's like, where are they coming from? Do they just not like the person? You know, or sometimes I feel like their decisions. It's like that was a shallow decision, mm-hmm. But he just puts it right on the table with a smile on his face. He's like, who does that? Basically.
By the way, I just want to clarify, because we both are wrong, because you keep saying that Pablo's Brazilian, and then I keep correcting you saying that he's Spanish. He's actually from Argentina.
Oh, I thought he was a Brazilian from Miami.
He is from Miami, but he's from Argentina.
I'm so sorry, Brazilian and Argentina, for all my
You were mistake. Closer than I was. You were closer than I was. So then...
Well, speaking of, then Tom's next line is, well, you served us mistakes. So there you go. Yeah. That was me who served you, Tom. You're welcome.
So now, after the judging, the contestants walk back in, and Kevin, you know, we hear their voiceovers, and Kevin's like, I definitely wouldn't count myself out, and then Brian and Pablo are both like, I hope I'm not done, so I'm like, okay, well, Kevin's the one who seems confident right now, which is ridiculous, so he's clearly going to go home, and sure enough, he was the one who was dropped, and so they're like, Kevin, pack your knives up and go back to wherever you're from, and Kevin comes up to, like, shake their hands, and Tom's like, well, listen... The dessert was just so salty it was inedible, but, you know, see you last chance kitchen.
No kidding. It's like, not to kick you while you're down, but get down lower. Boom. Okay, you thanks.
Thanks. In 16 seasons of doing Top Chef, this was probably the worst thing I ever ate, but see you at last chance kitchen.
And then Kevin's like, I can only hope to be a role model. You know, I just want my kids to grow up really salty. And one thing this taught me about myself is that I can change my glasses frames and have a totally different look for my confessionals, like right now. And I just want to evolve, you know. Don't give up on evolution just because I'm in a small town. You need to go.
So that's it for Top Chef. And since it is the end of the week, let's do some quick Crappin's mailbag.
All right.
Ding dong, ding dong. It's not playing on my side, but maybe you hear it.
It was playing on my end. I heard it.
Well, it's exciting. Meh. Everyone can just imagine the song played. So Ronnie, tell everyone about what the Crappin's mailbag is.
The Crappin's mailbag is a thing on Patreon, and when you sign up at that level, the mailbag level, then you write us letters, and then we read them and, like, answer them, and, like, you can ask us anything you want. That's not, like, how we came out of the closet. Like, you know, just enjoy it. And thank you for everybody who supports us on our Patreon. That's Spanish. Yeah. Patreon.
That's right. Okay, so I'm opening this up right now. We're going to look at some of the questions, because we have, like, a ton of questions that we have to get through. Gosh, people keep adding more in, which is great. It makes me very, very happy. There's, let's see, Dash Cat. This is from 2 weeks ago. Sorry, I'm doing them in random order, so if you've been waiting a while, it's not like I'm just random order. Dash Cat. Dash Cat says, hi, fellas. New Patreon member, but I've been listening to the podcast for a few years. I found you guys through Brian Moylan's Vulture Recaps. People in the comments were saying those Watch for Crappins guys are so hilarious, but I get annoyed when they speak in those Australian accents all the time. And I knew then that was the podcast for me. My question is, I've listened to your old episodes, and they're extra funny with the gift of hindsight. Quote, one thing's for sure, Bethany's done with Bravo for good, end quote. Quote, Vanderpump Rules is the worst show of 2013. I'm not watching it anymore, end quote. I sometimes think of how hilarious it would be to give 2012 Ben and Ronnie an overview of current events and getting their reactions. So, if the 2025 Ben and Ronnie could somehow go back in time, what spoilers would they share with us in 2017? A Gallery Girls resurrection, Bethany running for president, Vicky Gunvalson still on Real Housewives of Orange County. So I guess it's saying, what will be happening in 2025 in the state of Bravo? Well, considering that our foresight has been so terrible in the past.
Okay, I would say that in 2025, there will only be one Housewives left on the air. There's one prediction from me.
Let's see, 2025. What year is it right now? 2018, so that's 7 years from now. That's bold. That's a bold one. I am going to say in 2025, Andy Cohen will still be playing a game on Watch What Happens Live, like, whose crotch is this?
I predict in 2025, Sheena from Vanderpump Rules will be fat and have one leg.
Wow, she took a turn. I was dating a lion tamer and I got too close to the product. I say in 2025, everyone on Vanderpump Rules will still be a waiter or a waitress, but whether they're still at Sir is another question.
Okay, I predict that, I predict that Gail Simmons will be the richest woman from Top Chef.
I predict Thomas Ravenel will be just getting out of jail and will be then going on his book tour about what he's learned about being a proper gentleman.
Oh, okay. I predict that at least one cast member from Vanderpump Rules will be dead. Sorry, that's a horrible prediction, but it had to be said by somebody, and there I did it.
I predict that Jax and Brittany will have broken up a few times and are now, they have now moved on to, like, Celebrity Therapy Club or something like that, like some reality show on VH1 where they're trying to make their marriage work at long last, and Brittany's face is now, like, a little messed up from surgeries, et cetera, and Jax has also gotten some weird fillers, And they're it's like hosted by Danny Bonaducci.
Okay, I think that's a good way to end that one.
Yeah. Okay, how about...
Can't top that.
Can't top it. Mike Bowman, do we do this one or not? Let me know if it sounds familiar. He goes, hey guys, so Carol's return to journalism now includes selling sex toys. Yes. Which other housewives should sell sex toys, and what would their pitch be?
Carol sells sex toys?
I think this is actually true. I feel like I just saw a headline about Carol with sex toys like last week.
Wow. Okay. So Carol sells sex toys. So what was the question? I got stuck on Carol sells sex toys.
It's called the Rabbit. Jack Rabbit. Jack Kennedy Rabbit. It's called the bicandle. You sit on it and it feels like a young person is driving the bike.
The bicandle.
We call this one the counter. You get an orgasm because you're sitting on a counter that no one else should be sitting on, and you get turned on.
Sorry.
It's like you knew what was coming.
I didn't, actually.
But you knew it had to be terrible.
About the marathon. Okay.
So what was the question?
I call this one the marathon. You stick it in you for 26 miles, then you talk about it for the next 4 months.
And every time someone invites you to a party, you get mad that it's not about your vagina.
I call this one baby. It's actually a set of 4 different insertables that you can put into any hole in your body, and they're all named baby.
Okay, what else is in there?
We didn't really answer Mike's question, but I feel like in many ways we did. In many ways we did.
Okay, well then that wraps up Mailbag for 2018.
Yeah, thank you everyone. That was super fun. Ding, 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 ding. I don't know why it's not playing on my side. I feel rejected. But that's
well, I feel elected because it played on my side.
Boo. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Laura and I will be back on Monday to talk Vanderpump Rules. And then it'll be holiday time. So everyone have a wonderful...
I will be back in 2019, suckers.
Yeah, bye everyone.
Bye.